This is Doug Miller. How would you like a little spiritual music accompanied on a stringed instrument? Well, stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back again with you. Privileged, I might say, to be back again with you with this Word of God in hand and to be able to tell forth the truth in the power and energy of the Holy Spirit. And I trust you are praying for us and have been praying for us, because that's the only way this thing works, friends. Otherwise, I'm just making noise and no one profits. So pray, call others up, tell them to listen. And we are in the third chapter of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, whichever does it for you, the prophet, one of the last little books in the New Testament, or Old Testament rather, and one of the so-called minor prophets. And friends, there is nothing minor about this guy other than the length of the book. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Habakkuk, and call a friend, as I said. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, let me tell you, I always say call a friend and tell them to listen in. And I always generally tell you to pray for us, because, friends, that is your part in this ministry. And your part in this ministry is just as critical and just as important as mine is, I can tell you that. Yes, I'm sitting on the mic, and yes, I'm talking into it. But without your prayers and without your support, there is nothing going on here at all. It's just, I'm wasting my time, your money. And the Lord cannot and will not honor any of this. Now, I am telling you, you think, well, there's old Miller and he can talk. Yeah, there are a lot of people who can talk. We've got politicians who talk, and talk too much, if you don't mind my saying so. But it is only in the power and energy of the Holy Spirit that anything happens here at all. So I covet your prayers and your support. And once again, this is purely a faith ministry and very low budget, and I hope low-keyed in that regard. Those of you who have written to us and who've seen the kind of letters you get back will realize just how low budget we are. Going to keep it that way. Not going to let the tail wag the dog in this ministry, because that just eats up money that we need to send this word out. So once again, pray for us. And we would always love to hear from you. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that mailing address, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again later at the end of the broadcast. And, of course, we always are very encouraged. I can't tell you how encouraging it is to hear from listeners. If it's no more than how you doing, brother, we're out here praying for you. That's great. And we would, of course, like to be able to answer any questions you might have or provide you with any help that we might be able to provide you with. Of course, these recordings of these broadcasts are absolutely free without any strings attached of any kind. And those of you who have written in and asked for recordings will know once again that that is true. Your name doesn't go on a mailing list in Dialogue. We don't write you later on asking for donations or anything like that. That's not the way we do business. If the Lord doesn't provide the means to stay on the air, then we know that it's time for us to get off the air. So anyway, let us hear from you. Now, Habakkuk. I said, at the start of this broadcast, a little spiritual music accompanied on a stringed instrument. Well, that's what we really have here. If you were thinking that I was going to tune up my guitar and play a few verses of Amazing Grace for you, that's not what we're going to do. Notice the way that this verse or chapter 3 of Habakkuk begins, and notice the way the chapter or the whole thing ends. He begins like this, a prayer of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. All right? And notice how the chapter ends and the whole book ends. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Now, I know he didn't have a guitar or a mandolin or a five-string banjo. He didn't even have a string bass. He was probably, though, referring here to some sort of a harp. That was the common thing that was used then, and we know that David was a harpist and sang and made music on instruments. Now, for all of you out there who think there is something wrong, spiritually and wrong, and that you really cannot worship God and use instruments at the same time, let me just say that you and I are going to have to agree to disagree. I have many friends and even relatives that are among the Campbellites, the so-called Church of Christ, and so on and so forth, and I cannot tell you how many times that I have had this explained to me that we don't use pianos or instruments of any kind in our church. And this is why. And they've explained it to me using verses out of Ephesians and Colossians and so on and so forth about making melody in your hearts. I have never understood what they were talking about. I hope, friends, that I am just not being willfully ignorant. I hope that I am not just being, you know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said at the end of verse chapter 14, if any man wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I hope I'm not falling into that category. I have never understood it. I've been told and told and told. Now, for those of you out there who are listening to me, who are of this persuasion, I'm not trying to insult you. I am just saying I don't get it. I don't get it. And in both the New Testament, there's nothing in the New Testament that I can see that says anything against using instruments, and there's a lot in the Old Testament. Now, for those of you who say, now, hold on here a minute, Miller, you're one of those dispensationalists. You're one of those who are always talking about the Old Testament and the Old Testament being Israel's book and the New Testament being the church, and we are the church, and so on and so. Yes, I know that. I also know that I cannot see one thing in the New Testament against using stringed instruments or any other kind of instruments. The piano, incidentally, is a stringed instrument. And we have here a man, a prophet of God, no question about it, composing a song to be offered up on a stringed instrument. And while I don't have a guitar here and I'm not singing to you, well, I still see this here, and I know that David used his harp and sang on his harp and sang to the Lord, and it's very more than just a passing interest to me that this prayer of Habakkuk begins with the words upon Shigionoth, or Shigionoth maybe. It's also of more than passing interest that Psalm 7 has this word in it, Shigion. And it's a word, once again, that has to do with music. And we have here a spiritual song, almost a psalm, if you will, that is composed to end this book of Habakkuk. And for those of you who say Habakkuk, once again, I'm not going to keep saying or Habakkuk. I'll let it be what it is. If I'm mispronouncing this, just forgive me and pray for me. But look, we have here this wonderful psalm. Notice, if you will remember, how Habakkuk began. He began on a note of confusion of some sort. You might just say confusion. He did not understand what was going on. He did not understand. He looked around him, and he saw evil going on in Israel, and he saw what he thought was God doing nothing, and he asked him about it. And then we saw him in chapter 2 going to the watchtower, and the Lord answering him and saying, as it were, and we saw it in chapter 2, Habakkuk, don't worry about it. I am in control. I have got it here. I know exactly what I am doing, and I am going to bring it to pass. Now, friends, listen to me and listen very closely. I doubt very much we'll get through chapter 3 today. We'll try it, but I don't think we're going to get through it. There's just too much here. What we have in chapter 3 is a psalm of praise, singing with a stringed instrument. And we have this psalm of praise going forth to God, who is in control and who is in charge. Now, friends, there is no one more than the guy who is talking to you who understands what it is to get depressed, to look around, to wonder what's happening, to think maybe I didn't get it, maybe I've missed something here. And I don't know if that's a good thing to be confessing, because I'm up here on this radio station talking to you, and you say, well, you know, that's how I am, and who are you to be trying to cheer me up? Friends, I'm not trying to cheer you up. I'm trying to direct you to something that can cheer you up. Let me tell you something. From the very first, from the very outset, from Genesis, God has never lost control. I read a book one time by Hal Lindsey, and I don't mind naming him here. He put it in print. If he didn't want to be named, he shouldn't have floated it out there in print. And Hal Lindsey was talking in here about the Garden of Eden and how he put that tree there and said, gave Adam, you know, his instructions, and he said God took a chance. He took a chance on Adam. Friends, listen to me. God doesn't take chances. God knew when he put that tree there and gave Adam his instructions, he knew what Adam was going to do. If you say to me, well, he knew what Adam was going to do, that Adam was going to sin and plunge the world into sin and plunge millions of people into a lost eternity, and God knew all that and he did it anyway, why did he do it? If that's your question to me, my answer to you is I haven't got an answer for you on that one. All I can tell you is this, that ultimately God is going to bring it out to his honor, to his glory, and it's all going to work, and it's going to work beautifully. And we are going to see it, and we are going to praise and honor God, even as Habakkuk does here. And he will be glorified. He has not lost control. Look around you. You see evil everywhere. You see men sinning and seeming to get away with it. You see violence and viciousness. You see God dishonored and Jesus Christ blasphemed. And if you think God is out of control, let me help you out. He is not. Now let's read some of what this wonderful prophet says. We have in chapter 3, verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God is doing a work. Now, Dr. Scofield, in commenting on this particular chapter and this particular book, draws a line and a difference between the prayers of Israel and the prayers of the church as given by Paul in the New Testament. And Dr. Scofield is exactly right. He is exactly on target. If you read the prayers of Paul, for instance, just take the first chapter of Ephesians, you will see that Paul's writing and Paul's prayers, as it were, have to do with a heavenly people in heavenly places with heavenly promises and heavenly blessings. And friends, if you are today a Christian, you are saved, and you are looking around and waiting for and watching for earthly blessings and all of that, and you are trying to lay hold on these promises in the Old Testament and make them yours, please stop that. God has not given earthly blessings and promises to the church. We are a heavenly people. Our inheritance is much greater, much higher, much more wonderful than Israel could ever imagine. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And God has plans and programs for us that go right on out to eternity. He is going to show to principalities and powers in heavenly places through Christ Jesus, his Son, the wonders of his mercies and his grace, and he is going to show it through the church. But God also has an earthly program going on. He's got something going on in heaven. He's got something going on earth. And God's earthly program centers in on the nation of Israel. And God has made it very clear through, as you've heard me say many times, unconditional promises that he has chosen and picked out Israel, and he is going to bless them and honor them. Now, one of the worst things and most hideous and heinous errors ever committed was committed by those who took up this Bible and in the name of Christ Jesus and Christianity said that God was through with the nation of Israel. That was a terrible thing. This so-called replacement theology, these so-called preterists, oh my. You know what you do when you do that? You take entire blocks of Scripture throughout the Old Testament, the bulk of it, and make it undiscernible. You cannot understand it at all except by allegorizing and spiritualizing and symbolizing. And when you do that, you then say, who is going to tell us what it means? And you get all kinds of different ideas. Why not just be literalists? Why not just take this word for what it is and let it say what it says literally? And when you do that, you find out that God hasn't rejected the nation of Israel. God is doing a work on this earth, and he is going to bring it to pass in the messianic kingdom. And it is going to be wonderful what God is going to do. Israel is going to be brought back to the land, and even now that work is in process. God is doing that even now. And for those of you who say the people now occupying as Jews the land of Israel are imposters, oh, nonsense. Nothing of the sort. These are the forerunners. This is the beginning of what is going to be a great movement. And Israel and Judah are going to be reunited. And we are going to have God establishing the messianic kingdom on this earth with his Son, Jesus Christ, seated on the throne of glory. And it's going to happen, friends. And it is very close to happening. Did you hear that? It's on its way. I can hear his footsteps even at the doors. Now let's read on here. Verse 3. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. We get this little word, Selah, and for all of you who are familiar with the Psalms, you'll remember how often that little word occurs in the Psalms of the Old Testament. What does it mean? Well, probably a word, as I read scholars and as they have said it, and I think this is probably true, it is a word which probably means, now take notice, take notice. Remember James Dean in the movie, East of Eden, reading from the 32nd Psalm, and he would emphasize sneeringly that word, Selah, just to make his father angry. Well, it's not here to make us angry. It's angry to say, take notice. Look. Now, we have, in verses 3 through 17, God's action in this earth. God's action. And a part of God's action. We have, some scholars have said, there are two men who are, while they're referred to here, they're not named. And those men, say these scholars, are Abraham and Moses. Along comes Vernon McGee and says, actually, there are three unnamed men in here, Abraham, Moses, and Joshua. Now along comes Doug Miller and says there are actually four unnamed men in this, in verses 3 through 17, God's action, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read this and say, well, that's interesting, Miller, I've read this chapter 3 because I knew you were going to talk on it, and I don't see any of them. Well, I said they're unnamed. You kind of got to look between the lines, and I hope I'm not looking too deeply between the lines to see something that's not really there. Let's give it again. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, is written all over verse 8 and verse 13 of this little chapter here. Let's take a look at it in the time we have left, which is roughly 2 minutes. Let's see what we can get here. And we will find that Abraham is in view. Now, when you ask, why these four men, Miller? I mean, you said it. Now, why these four men? And why are they hidden here? Well, glad you asked. These four men, because every one of them is so critical to what God is doing in his earthly program with the nation of Israel. First, we've got the man that he called out of Ur of the Chaldees and sent out to Canaan, and he said, I'll give you the whole land. Then we've got the man that God used to bring Israel out of Egypt as a nation now, a mighty nation, across the Red Sea on dry land, and finally into Canaan as a nation to possess the land. And we have got, but of course he didn't go across the Jordan with them, we've got the man who actually led them into Canaan and in bitter and violent war conquered those Canaanitic tribes and gave the land to Israel. But all of that is nothing were it not for the fourth man, the man of verse 8 and the man of verse 13. And when we see this man, we finally see the one who is going to bring in the ultimate blessing to Israel, the ultimate blessing on this bitter and weary earth. It is going to be transformed and blossom like a rose. And there will be love and peace from one end of this earth to the ever. The Lord will indeed be in his holy temple on this earth, and all the world will bow the knee to keep silence before him. And the Lord in heavenly places will indeed take his church out of here, catch us up, and transform us into his likeness, and we shall be with him forever. Will you be with him at that time? Why don't you trust Jesus as your Savior right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.